Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship here at Faith, and boy, what a day we've got in store for everybody here as we're gathered here together. This is our final time for at least probably a couple months that Faith Factor is going to be with us this morning. But and I'll tell you, it hasn't come easy, and one of our prayers this morning is that Jerry's wife, Colleen, is in the hospital this morning. They're continuing to run some tests. She's up at North Bay. And you also notice here that one of our other members who had surgery this past week, Misty's back with the group this morning. So everybody is all present and accounted for this morning. But not only on behalf of Faith Factor, but also on behalf of a special day that we got, we hope that all of you can stick around when worship is finished today. Make your way over to the CLC, because our Teens for Christ have got a special event, and they're in the back, and we're going to let them come on back forward, and they've got some special announcements for us today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We're back again. Thanks for seeing us. This was just given to me by our president, Ms. Roseanne Verheyen. We, if you haven't been made aware, we will be attending the National Youth Gathering in Minneapolis, Minnesota from July 10th through the 15th. And this little thing, we're going to do it up a little differently, but we're going to make sure that they can find us in crowds of 25,000 other high school youth groups, or teens and leaders. So I'm very excited to use this come the event. But on our way to get there, we are having one of our last big fundraisers immediately following service today. It's a free event. We will have a free will offering for donations if you'd like to make them. But we will be having lunch, hamburgers, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad was brought in, chips, snacks, everything. But the main event is we're having a cornhole tournament, also known as a beanbag toss for the Northerners, which is majority of everybody. You are still able to register for the event after service. We have a couple teams that we either need players or we need two-person teams. To play on a team, it's $15 per person. And again, all proceeds going to the National Youth Gathering that we're going to be attending here in just about a month. But the event itself is free. If you want to come and watch the teams duel it out, completely free, snacks, lunch, whatever you need. So even if you don't want to participate or play, we would definitely love to see you all over there cheering on the teams. Pastor Frieda Steinke will be playing. April and Jean... Robert Hackman. I thought we were having a celebrity player with Gene Hackman, and I was very confused. But we have a lot of great teams. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we really, really hope to see you all over there. And again, this is one of our last big fundraisers before we head off, and they follow me around in crowds for the youth gathering. So thank you all so much, and we hope to see you after service.
Folks, I want to thank a number of our people that responded to our request last week for volunteers to help serve at the National Convention, which follows the National Youth Gathering by just a few days. They're back about towards the middle of 1 week, and then over that weekend, we're headed down to Tampa as the National Church is gathered in convention, probably for the only time ever here in down in Tampa. There was a request that was made for volunteers. We had a number of people, a lot of whom signed up for Altar Guild that would be for the opening service and things like that on Saturday night. As we get closer, and I've got more details, we will work on transportation arrangements. But if anybody else would like to volunteer, we sent out another mailer this past week that's got that link where you can volunteer. I haven't checked to see if things are starting to fill in nicely or not. I left a couple of telephone calls for an individual that, because I wanted him to say, hey, have people responded to this or not? But they never got back to me, which is fine. So we have got that also going on here in the weeks to come. Folks, in 2 weeks, we are going to return to the format that we used last summer, where we're going to be starting worship, and then, of course, these will be the services where Faith Factor will be off now for the summer. We're going to begin with an opening hymn sing, and then most of the hymns that we're going to sing will be right at the beginning of the service, and then we'll just go through the service. It's a good thing to do for the summer, but we won't be doing it as long or as much this year, and as I said, it's going to start in 2 weeks. So In the midst of all of the things that are going on here on the day of Pentecost, and I know we have more than a few people that are dressed in their Pentecost reds today, let's begin by greeting one another in the peace of the Lord. As you are able, please stand. We make our beginning by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love.
For in you I trust.
Make me know the way I should go.
For in you I lift up my soul.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For in you I
trust. With true hearts, let us confess together that we, through sinful thoughts, careless words, and loveless deeds, have transgressed God's righteous law and deserve his punishment, now and eternally, beginning with the time for silent prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, we acknowledge our sinful nature and repent of our sins in thought and in word and in deed. For the sake of Jesus, grant us your forgiveness so that as your redeemed people, we may be fit places for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and may serve you in time and in eternity. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of that same Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Jesus stands in your midst and speaks into your ears the words of life that brings healing to your souls. God provides freely, in abundance, and taking care of our greatest needs of both body and soul in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is my privilege to announce to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the day of Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is from the 11th chapter of Genesis, the Tower of Babel and the division of languages. Moses writes, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had a brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the second chapter of Acts, the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. St. Luke writes, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And those words are also the words of our text for this morning. A number of years ago, when cartoons were written, believe it or not, mostly for adults, and if you've ever watched all those old cartoons back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, where they had to sketch every single one of them, of the drawings by hand, and it took months to complete one cartoon, you can see that there was a lot of adult-like humor in that. But there was this one cartoon. It was a rather nondescript cartoon that had your typical bad guy that was doing different bad things throughout the cartoon. But in the midst of this cartoon, there would be a couple spots where all of a sudden there would be this shadowy figure that would just go across the screen. The first time you saw it, it even made you wonder, wait a minute, did somebody mess up and, you know, get in the way of the camera or something else like that? And nobody paid any mind to it. But then after that had happened a couple of times, at some point you could tell it was built into the cartoons, because all of a sudden, whatever the plot was at that moment, they would stop and watch this person go across the screen again and then disappear. And then they'd resume whatever it was that they were doing. Now, most of those cartoons were in the vicinity of about 7.5 minutes back then. And they'd gotten to the point, they'd been a little better than 7 minutes. And this cartoon, you're wondering, is this cartoon going to go anywhere? Well, all of a sudden, here comes this figure one final time. And the guy that was the bad guy in this cartoon just stops, looks right at him, and says, "All right, fella, just who the heck are you anyway?" And suddenly you saw the face, and for the first time he says, "Who, me? Oh, I'm the hero in this picture." Picks up the bad guy, throws him through the window. That's the end of the cartoon. Strange one, but still, something where a person that it's like we knew, was this person even supposed to be a part of what that plot was all about? In some ways, that seems to be what the Holy Spirit is like. And regardless of how you want to interpret that, a shadowy figure that nobody seems to know who it is, even amongst Christianity, there's a lot of confusion about who the Holy Spirit is, what his role is. Well, hopefully, not here. And even if there is, our Lord and Savior made it clear that the role of the Holy Spirit, while it seems to be an incredible thing, is actually not so complex at all, because he says, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Boy, and it sure seemed the Holy Spirit had a lot to do on that front. In the latter days of Jesus' 3-year ministry, we start seeing him interacting less and less with crowds of people. And it would make it clear why that was the case. It would even say because Jesus was staying away from the crowds because he was teaching his disciples. And yet somehow, were they getting what he was saying to them? Then, after, in the midst of all of the confusion of what took place when he died on the cross and these now supposedly learned disciples betrayed him, denied that they even knew who he was, ran away, were hidden under lock and key. And then Jesus comes to them and says, "These are the words that I said to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And that was in Luke. And then in John it says, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." But in the midst of all of that, it's almost like that shadowy figure came across the screen and left without anybody even noticing, because the confusion amongst the disciples, even on the day of Ascension, which we celebrated just last Sunday, was palpable, was clear. There was still confusion. It's almost like Jesus must have wasted his time, or somehow something was missing with the Holy Spirit. Until today. On this, the day of Pentecost, we finally have got something that happens amongst God's people where finally the Holy Spirit is doing something very real, very powerful. And inside the apostles, some what seems to have been miraculous, and in many ways it was. I mean, all you got to do is, as the scripture lesson was being read this morning, and we were listening to the people that were coming from all these different areas, if you did a little bit of math, there were more areas, more languages, more dialects than there were apostles. Okay, so whatever the Holy Spirit was doing, where everybody was hearing the message of the gospel, truly was miraculous. And yet for the disciples, what it was more than anything else is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And the Holy Spirit for us, in the midst of the faith that he gives us, I mean, yes, he is responsible for faith along every step of the way. He's the one that brings us to faith, something we cannot do by ourselves. He is the one that makes that faith grow, that makes that faith useful, that makes that faith grow in the midst of the fruits of the Spirit. He's the one that helps us make sure that we stay faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of life. And yet, what's he doing? It's not something mystic. It's not something like a shadowy figure across the screen. He is bringing to remembrance all that Jesus said. He is giving us the same clarity that he gave the disciples. Whatever the disciples were doing, they were finally proclaiming the gospel. They were proclaiming what the Lord God, through their Savior Jesus, had done for them. A message that is truly universal, a message that is truly good news. And a message that no matter what your nationality is, what language you speak, what life has been like up until now, you need to hear that same message. Because the second thing that our Savior does, in the midst of bringing clarity, is he helps us to understand that just in the same way as the disciples now, who spent all of that time being taught about the words of the Lord, hopefully it hearkens us back. That if we are going to have that same clarity to proclaim that message, it means that we must go back once again. It means that we must be prepared in whatever settings we have, whether they are formally Bible study, social, whatever the case might be. We talk about the things that the Lord has given us when we rise up and when we lie down. We make certain that the message of our Savior is something that is clear and something that is going to be consistent from person to person. There can only be one message. The message of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, offered through our Savior Jesus Christ. Because when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, he's not working on his own behalf. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit is always going to remain that figure that may go across the screen. It may be behind something. But somehow, when the work of the Holy Spirit is taking place, there is one thing that you're supposed to see. One thing that in your heart, in your mind, in the message, you're supposed to see. And that's the message of the cross. The message of a Savior that was willing to give his life for us. We're going to be sharing in a few minutes the last part of the Apostles' Creed and a little explanation that Dr. Martin Luther had written about it. And it doesn't take long where, as he talks about what it is that the Holy Spirit does that we cannot do, where then the message shifts back from what the Holy Spirit is doing to just what Jesus is doing in this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers on the last day. As it goes on in our third article, He raised me and all the dead and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. The Holy Spirit finally then has one more thing to us. And that is that the Holy Spirit has for us, each one of us, a true Pentecost miracle. I know that when we look at society today, it's like, wow, would it be nice somehow to get a Pentecost miracle just like what they had, where all they had to do was start proclaiming the message and bang, 3,000 souls added to their midst. And for those that are going to be involved, wouldn't it be nice to have that Pentecost miracle today? Okay, how are we going to be able to feed 3,000 souls when we get done here? Well, if that's a problem we'd have to worry about, so be it. But the power of the Holy Spirit is stronger than you realize. And the Pentecost miracles really do take place in us. We've already heard from our youth this morning. They would be interested to know that even though our national youth gatherings have not been up in places like Minneapolis, hardly at all. In fact, you know, places like Orlando here are much more common, which of course wasn't a big deal. But way back in the year 1975, 44 years ago, they had another gathering up there. This one was only regional, but still, there were well over 3,000, sound familiar? 3,000 young people, along with adults, at a regional gathering. And on a Friday night, on a perfect Friday night, they were in a park that, it was a park I knew well, because it wasn't far from where my dad's brother lived. I'd been in that park a couple times. A perfect setting to have something like that. In the midst of this gathering, all of the youth gathering participants, I mean, the theme was called Alive in 75, of course. All of them had been given these Frisbees with Alive in 75 on. I think I still have mine somewhere. And here they were, of course, we're in a park, and so everybody's having fun with their Frisbees. There is, down in the midst of where everybody is, because everybody, it's kind of on a circular hill, and down in the midst of that, there was a musical group that was playing. For the longest time, it seemed like nobody was paying attention. I mean, they were singing and doing the things that they always do, but everybody was having, just enjoying the park, enjoying the evening, enjoying the fellowship, meeting new people. I had in my group, since I was one of those teens, one of our adult counselors, because we'd had a bunch of box suppers, and so he had grabbed a bunch of the empty boxes, and he says, going to throw them away and take care of a couple things and be back in a few minutes. When he returned, what he came back to was something that was so different than when he left. And he hadn't been gone that long. But all of a sudden, in just a few moments' time, the place went from seemingly nobody paying attention, everybody enjoying their Frisbees and so forth, to all of a sudden, the undivided attention of every person was on the musical group as they shared a message about what the power of the Holy Spirit is really all about. And then they got ready to start singing their final song. And the lead singer shared these words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. From that moment on, the event became something that stuck in the minds of these people. And I've met a few of them through the years. It stuck in the minds of them almost like it happened yesterday. It remains something where now they understood that the message of the gospel is something that not only they must proclaim, but they can proclaim. Well, friends, you just heard those words. We may not need to have a shift in attention, but what we do need is an understanding that Pentecost miracle is inside of each one of us as we proclaim. All we can do is plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit do what he does best. But that seed is the word. And that seed is the message where we call to remembrance all that Jesus has taught us. And that seed is the message of the peace. The peace that he leaves with us. The peace of God that passes all human understanding, which will keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now go through that final part of the Apostles' Creed along with its meaning. And there is there's a little introduction here that I'd like to read to you. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Although not written by the apostles of the first century, it expresses the faith they brought to the nations as the Holy Spirit enlarged the church. Today we confess the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which testifies to the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and speak together the section of Martin Luther's Small Catechism that explains it. Please stand. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. A prayer has been requested on behalf of Kathy Wendt's sister, Andrea Nuradka. We lift up our hearts as we bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for pouring out your Holy Spirit on your church as its source of life and strength and faith forever, for bringing us to that faith in Jesus Christ. By his daily presence and power in our lives, continue to keep us in the one true faith, that we may call to remembrance all that Jesus has taught us, that we may be equipped with all of the gifts of the Spirit for the Master's service to make us ready for every good work. Help us to always keep our hearts and lives focused on the Holy Scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can make us increasingly wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, sharing a single solid message of the gospel that changes lives and brings them to Jesus. May we, as we share our Savior with our whole being, live in cheerful obedience to him, enabling us to follow with pure hearts the things that produce all the fruits of faith. Let the wisdom and renewing power of the Comforter fill our church, so that it may be strong in faith, active in proclaiming in every language the great deeds which you have done for us. As the Spirit touched the apostles with tongues as of fire, fill all your people with the fire of faith and conviction, love and worship, witness and service. Make your Spirit's influence felt in all our homes. Grant that he may lead all to live in love, in the spirit of understanding and truth and love, so that families may live in godliness and peace. To all who face the troubles and trials of life, give to them the peace of Christ. We pray on behalf of Misty Weiss, Colleen Brock, Andrea Narodka, and now on behalf of someone in our own lives that is in need of that special help and comfort that comes from you, that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Give them all the resources of your love and your strength. All these things we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We close in prayer together. Lord God, you call your people to faith and faithfulness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Enlighten our hearts, that we have a right understanding in all things, and may rejoice in the power and blessing of your word among us. May the promise of Pentecost be fulfilled in and through us in our times and places. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. And now go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and give you peace.